Mikey. Do you know the Indians that used to live around here thought this place was haunted?
Mikey!
Legend says that the guardians of their spirit world lived in the rocks and the trees. That one day, they're going to come back into our world.
Don't be a jerk.
Like, I didn't mean anything by it. Mikey knows that.
Stephanie.
Later.
Bags on the table, Mikey. Remember?
One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five.
Can you tell Michael to stay out of my room? He keeps leaving dirty hand marks everywhere.
We never talk about him. We never talk about how he affects all of us. It's getting creepier and creepier.
Getting angry doesn't help. You're scaring him.
He's scaring me.
Three.
Oh my God. Four.
Hey, who's up there?
Five.
Oh God. Oh, I hate horror so fucking much. Oh my God, people. Another. What a way to kick off a week after Civil War. You give me the darkness. Another Blumhouse production, cheap-ass horror film that probably costs like $30 or something. Wow, and I never knew you could fit so much in an hour and a half of just nonsense, but wow, this movie somehow did. God. All right, let's just give a plot synopsis. Fuck this movie, man, so much. It's a low fucking already. I'm sorry. It's a low fucking fuck this movie, man. This movie. And if you follow me on Twitter, you know this movie was a pain in my ass to get through. I mean, it just kept knocking you upside the head left and right. But so you got a family that takes a little vacation trip to the Grand Canyon. And the family is, Kevin Bacon plays Peter Taylor. You got Rhonda Mitchell, Bronny Taylor, David Mazouz, who plays young Bruce Wayne in Gotham. He plays Michael Taylor. And you got Lucy Fry, plays Stephanie Taylor, his sister. And they're on a little vacation with, you know, Jennifer Morrison, Joy Carter, and Matt Walsh, Gary Carter, their husband and wife, which I just found out to be so unbelievable, and their son, Parker Mack, Andrew Carter, and you see him at the opening of the trailer, and he goes in some, you know, because his sister goes, he's not scared of anything, or whatever, so he ends up staying behind while his sister and that guy tend to go just look at some more mountains, I guess, whatever. And he ends up falling in a little cave. How the fuck did he get out that cave now? Never mind. He falls into a cave. And he sees symbols on the wall and shit like that. And, you know, at first, I didn't want to go there. But at first, I noticed they looked like Native American symbols and stuff like that. I even think I saw a fucking dream catcher on the wall. But, and then he sees this stone. Now, later in the film, I found out that, are these spirit animals? What? Because the stones have markings on them. One's a snake, one's a bird, one's an ox, you know, so, and these stones become actual Native American. this movie's racist as fuck. yes. Oh, Sammy can, I know she's gonna enjoy this film. So he takes the stones because something's wrong with this kid. You don't really know at first. They later in the film say he has an autism. Well, they don't even say he has an autism. They kind of just Google search the shit. And you just kind of, oh, he has an autism. Okay. So something's wrong with the kid. And I didn't really want to know what it was. But I did want to know what it was. But I didn't really want to say what it was. Because I was like, I don't want to be disrespectful to what he was. I don't want to call him mentally challenged or nothing like that. But it's found in the film. He most likely probably has an autism. So he somehow gets out the cave. Goes back home. Starts playing with these stones. Next morning, they wake up. Water faucets are going off and shit like that. And they're thinking it's him. And he's like, no, it's my good friend, Jenny. And they're like, oh, you have an imaginary friend. That's cute and adorable, whatever. You know, the dog, and then the cliches start kicking. Dogs start barking, cabinets start opening up, just like, you know, not even just cabinets. I take that back. Not cabinets. Cabinet. Cabinets start opening, you know, and just weird stuff start to happen. And so, you know, I guess the longer that this kid plays with these stones, the stronger these, I'm saying this loosely, Native American demons come to haunt you, I guess, because they start wanting to play patty cake like a motherfucker, you know, just as you can see in this poster right now, all these black handprints, so apparently they don't bathe is what they're saying, so so they just leave these marks all over. They know the star of it. And then they got to call them an old Mexican and a Mexican translator girl, whatever, to get the demons out here. The end. Whatever. Okay, this is some bullshit. Anyway, first problem with this movie. This movie has so many goddamn subplots that go absolutely nowhere. And comes into story play to where you're scratching your head going, is this them trying to give background now? There is a hot Kevin Bacon. He's a I guess he's an architectural designer. Yeah, and he's probably the best in his company. Let's just he's the boss's right hand man. He makes a shitload of money, as you can see. This fine ass girl gets hired. Who I don't even know who she is. I have no idea who. Maybe it was her. Yeah, I'm looking at her. No, that wasn't her. Never mind then. Okay, well. That girl's Asian. That girl in the movie was clearly black. All right, well, found it. Yep. Her name was Treon Long Smith. This girl is fine as hell. I think she was in this shitty-ass movie called The Company We... Yep, she was in that shitty-ass movie, The Company We Keep. Yeah, people, you probably haven't seen her in anything. And she plays Sammy, and she gets hired with her fine-ass... God damn, that girl's fine. Cocoa butter. But she comes in the picture, and Kevin Bacon, he's like nervous, and not like because the boss introduced her, he's like walking behind the girl, and he's just like, she's fucking hot. Yeah, I was like, yeah, clearly movie, we could see that. So that there's a whole subplot of him wanting to cheat with this girl off his wife, and it's done in the most stupidest way possible too. Because Kevin Bacon literally gets home that day, and then right off the bat, he makes a phone call in the bedroom, door wide open and shit, talking to this girl late at night while the wife is doing, I think she's laundry or whatever the fuck she was doing. She got a basket in her hand. Like, who the fuck does laundry this late at night? But, and she just like looks in the door and hears him talking, and then she just walks away, and then she goes in the hallway with her hands over her mouth and just looks at the photo, go, and then next, you know, there's a story arc that comes in here later where apparently Kevin Bacon cheated on her before, and she had a drinking problem, because that's another subplot that comes in here, because shit starts to go crazy in this house. Kevin Bacon, obviously, because this is one of those cliches again, Kevin Bacon doesn't listen to her because men never listen to the wives in this situation. And so she starts picking up the bottle again. She gets that Absolut vodka, and she starts downing that shit like a motherfucker. So they've got some clear issues. There's another subplot in here. Okay, first of all, this character did such a 180 turn. At the canyon, Grand Canyon scene, his sister, and I'm talking about, I already forgot her goddamn name, Lucy Fry, who's played Stephanie in the film. She plays a nice, sweet, innocent girl in that Grand Canyon. And I was just like, okay, well, at least she's not a cunt. Nuh-uh. The very next scene after that, once they get back home, she is the biggest bitch in the whole damn movie. This is one of those films where you kind of just want to strangle her ass. Yeah. Let me take that back. You don't kind of want to strangle her ass. You want to strangle her ass. There is a moment in the film. Well, it's constant moments. Every time she comes home from school, mom says, "Hey, honey, how's it going?" or whatever, and she just kind of looks at her and goes, "Whatever." Whatever. Get out of my room. You don't belong in here. Get out. Bitch, you ain't paying no bills up here. Shut the fuck up, please. White people, beat your kids' asses. Please, just beat they ass. And you definitely should beat they ass after the scene I saw. So, I guess one day she decided, because it gets a repetition. It's like a third time she gets home. She gets home, and we see her stick her fingers in her mouth and hawk up her food and put it in a plastic bag, put it in a bucket, And then she turns around and goes, and her mom is standing there watching her. So apparently this is a subplot where the daughter has a problem not eating her food. She hacks it up and stuff like that. Like she's trying to be an anorexic model or some shit like that, or whatever. Because they lift up the mattress and there's just nothing but Tupperware with just food from all the meals, and it looked disgusting. I'm not gonna lie, it's like, ugh, God, girl, what's wrong with you? And that subplot goes nowhere. They never once bring that shit up after that again. But in this scene, when she found out, Kevin Bacon gets home and you hear screaming and yelling. Which, by the way, he always got home in the middle of the night, which is the weirdest goddamn thing to me. Screaming and yelling, and she gets in there, and I tweeted about this. The daughter is beating on her mother. She got her on the ground, and she is just swinging her hands, slapping the shit out of her mother, saying, "You're a bitch, you're a bitch," or whatever. And I was just like, "Yep, that's about that time for me to walk the fuck out of this goddamn movie." I said, "Why is the mother crying and getting slapped upside the head right now? This makes no sense." Any parent in this position, you are getting P1 seal of approval. If you are in this position right now as we speak, which I doubt it, because we don't, none of the spawn bats, we don't play like that. If you are in this position, beat the fuck out your kid. I don't care if you take a swing at him or whatever, but if your kid starts beating on you like this girl was and calling you a bitch, knock them upside their head and make them think twice for ever wanting to put their hands on you. What in the hell is wrong with filmmakers, mainly in horror films or I hate to say it, white people films and stuff like that, where your kid is constantly calling parents bitches and beating them upside the head? What in the fuck is up with this shit right here? Is this like an epidemic or something? Because this shit is like the killer of a movie, for me at least. Once I see that, I'm already tuned out on everything and everything that's going with it. So that was one another subplot that goes fucking absolutely nowhere. This movie gets kind of sexist in a way. It gets sexist as fucking a little bit. We got Ming-Na Wen in here, and everybody knows her. She's in here as Wendy. She's from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She was Mulan. She's probably one of the hottest Asian actresses working right now. She's in this movie, and that kind of baffled the fuck out of me. It was at this dinner scene with Kevin Bacon's boss, and it baffled the shit out of me for the simple fact. I was like, what the fuck are you doing in this movie? What's going on here? How did this director get a lot of talented fucking people in here? I'm talking about Rada Mitchell, Wendy, Ming Wen in here, Kevin Bacon, what? Jennifer Morrison, what was going on here? Yeah, I'll even throw in Matt Walsh's name in here, and David Mazouz, I don't remember him from Gotham that much, I'm not gonna lie. I don't remember hating him though. I was like, I guess this is what a kid Bruce Wayne would act like, I guess, or a kid in general. So, actually, I was kind of looking forward to see what he did with this film, but man, he gets the biggest shaft in the whole goddamn film because he don't have any dialogue, because they borderline make him slow and idiotic in this film. So, she's in this scene, dinner table scene, and the boys, the husband, they go have a little brandy, little drink real quick. They come back and, you know, Bronnie, Kevin Bacon's wife, she's asking all kind of questions about her son. Been freaking out because she believes now there's something supernatural going on. And, you know, Ming, she's trying to tell her, hey, this has happened. And then, you know, the boys come back and be like, oh, what are you women talking about? And then they find out what they're talking about. And then the men just dismiss the women like a motherfucker. And it's even as they tried to talk. I don't remember who played Kevin Bacon's boss in here, but he was telling his wife constantly, just shut your mouth or whatever and let the men talk, right? I was just like, this whole scene was just uncomfortable as shit. I was just sitting there like, wow, so this... I was like, who in the right mind would put this in a movie? You got two stay-at-home house moms in these female characters in here being run by their men. I was like, how old is this movie? Is this shit outdated like a motherfucker or what? Because in 2016, I don't think no woman is gonna take being told to shut the fuck up by her man, especially in front of people. Oh, hell no. Woman to knock your ass out these days. There's another thing that just didn't make any sense. So, and I love it because it got to bring up the next scene where Kevin Bacon's wife, she's just like, I don't like how he treats Wendy and stuff like that. Did you hear how he was talking? He was demeaning her, sexualizing her and stuff like that. And he was like, yeah, it's wrong, but you know what? Hey, he's my boss. Or whatever. I was like, oh, Kevin, come on, man. Kevin, what are you doing, baby? Baby, you the bacon. What are you doing? You the baconator. What are you doing, baby? What are you doing? In fact, that it got brought up and it absolutely went nowhere in a conversation of dialogue, because the dialogue is just fucking god-awful in this film. It is stupid as shit. The movie is boring as fuck, too. These ghost demons, you don't know what the hell their agenda is. They're just pissed off because it's the sake of a horror cliche. They just gotta be pissed the fuck off. And we later find out in the film, this is how we found out what they were. You gonna laugh your ass off right here, people. I want you to Google search strange smells. There's been strange smells in the house. Google search it. I want to know what comes up first. Because apparently in this universe, when you Google search strange smells, supernatural shit comes up first on the first goddamn page, too. I'm talking about from number one search pick to all the way down. What is it? Number 10? I don't know what number it goes down to, whatever. But all the way down to the bottom. And she clicks on them, and they're talking about, you got supernatural in your house, someone's possessed. And then she clicks on one article, and it straight up said, if you are, it pretty much, it's like saying, in that thing I read on the Movie Spoilers episode, it was like, if you are fat and dark, black, or whatever, you are most likely gonna get raped. This was kind of saying the same thing, only in the vein of, if you're a kid, you got autism, you're most likely going to get possessed. I said, what? That right there bulged the fuck out my eyeballs. I was like, what in the fuck search engine is this? Please, I must know. I just gotta know, just for the sake of doing research myself for this goddamn review. This movie straight up said, on her, and she clicks on multiple articles. It ain't just one. There's multiple fucking articles of how kids with autisms, if you have an autism, this is how I found out the kid had autism in the first fucking place, by her Google searching. I'm just like, so that's what her son got? Oh, okay. I didn't know. I mean, I'm not too familiar with many people that have autism and stuff. I have a friend whose daughter has autism, but I never met the daughter. But she seems really smart. I gave her my one of my keyboards I had for piano and stuff like that, and he told me she learned it right away. So, I mean, sounds like a goddamn genius to me, because it took me fucking 6 months to learn that damn thing. But in here, they didn't show no signs of that with this kid. So, but it's funny as fuck, because you click on the links, it says, kids with autism, they're going to be possessed. This kid with an autism was possessed. Demons go looking for kids with autism. It's perfect for them because autism kids are attracted to demons. I was like, what? 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 I was like, I don't know if this is insensitive, but I would love to get a take on someone who might have autism. If you're a spoiled bastard, I would love to get take on that, because I was like, why do I feel like this is not a, well, first of all, it ain't accurate at all, because fucking demons don't exist, so, but I just would love to get your take, if you have autism, on how this movie portrayed kids with autism, or people with autism in general, because they really just didn't give a fuck. So, you know, by the third part of the movie comes in, whatever, that's, you know, the ghost starts to get really pissed off. I mean, he's done opening cabinets and playing with water faucets and shit like that, because, you know, the whole sister throwing up her food thing, they're like, you know what, we need to drop our son off with grandmama. That's what I call grandma. I'm sorry. Grandmama gotta come and raise this little brat real quick. And he gets there, and obviously he's not doing his talking thing. The cat comes by. The cat starts purring like a mother. That cat's screeching. He's just like, oh, nah, grandmama. I don't trust this little cat. Something batty is wrong with him. See what I did there, people? See what I did there? Yeah, I went there. And grandma, she's just looking like, I don't know what's wrong with the cat. Cat runs in the living room. He's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. You should have built a doggy door or something like that. Gotta get the hell up out this house. And the kid, he's just walking towards the cat. I love it. I love it. And then, you know, she's just like, I don't think he wants to play Mikey. And he's just still walking towards the cat, and the cat's just like, oh, shit, come on, Grandmama, get me the hell up out of here. And Grandmama turns around, the door just closed by itself, and then the ghost's like, I'm going to fuck with her real quick. I'm going to raise her water bill right now, whatever. I'm going to turn on all three of her sinks right now. Why the fuck she has three sinks next to each other? It blew my fucking mind. I was like, this chick must be rich as fuck. You know what I mean? Whenever you got more than one thing that's unnecessary next to each other, you know you rich. You got three sinks next to each other? Who the hell has three sinks next to each other? Really? Nobody. But either way, I digress. And then Grandma turns around and she sees a rattlesnake. It's just on the counter out of nowhere. It was the most baffling scene almost throughout the whole movie. But then more baffling shit started to happen after this part. Where it was like random shit was just happening. And it made no sense. Had no context or nothing. I was just sitting there like, why the fuck is a rattlesnake there all of a sudden? I was like, and it served no purpose too. And then she hears a loud scream. That cat go, whatever. And then all you hear is she runs. She's like, no, what's going on in here? She opens the door and they don't show you. I'm assuming the movie is PG-13. I'm almost certain it's PG-13. And first of all, that's terrible in the first fucking place. PG-13 horror movies, that is the stupidest goddamn thing possible. Especially since we all know you ain't making horror movies today for storytelling. That's for goddamn sure. We know this for a fact. But she goes in, and then next time, it's in the hospital scene, because it sounds like a cat's neck is trying to be snapped or something like that. And they go in, and the doctor's just like, Grandma's okay. I think she's went into a shock or something. Some shit like that. And she was just like, she woke up and said, Michael was trying to snap the cat's neck and kill him. And they was just like, no, he's not like that. No, he's not like that. And I was just like, so this ghost, that was the start of the ghost starting to get pissed off. Which, by the way, she has a name, and her name is Jenny. Who the fuck is Jenny? Jenny is only mentioned by name, but when the shit starts to hit the fan and these, I'm putting this in quotes, Native American demons come back or whatever or something like that, there is about five of their asses. So who in the hell is Jenny? Is Jenny that goddamn black goat from The Witch? Is it a manifestation of all these motherfuckers right here? Which, by the way, man, the look on these fucking Native men, this shit was racist as fuck. You know, normally I don't like to back Sammy's rants up in her Native American things, but good God. I mean, you couldn't get more. I'm talking face paint, all feathers and shit like this. I was just like, damn. Like, they didn't give a fuck, dude. You should have seen their wardrobes, too. It was part of their spirit animal. It's like, oh, God. Right now, Sammy is just cringing. Why? Oh, I don't know if she's watching this shit. I doubt it after she saw my tweet about it being a Native American in here. And, you know, so they start doing more research. They Google it again. They Google it anyway. They Google the shit. And then they found out Native American spirits lived in the Grand Canyon. And they were possessed by evil spirits and stuff like that. So they hid the power away in these stones and in these ruins and caves and stuff like that. And sometimes they can fall. And I love it because there's a photo, family photo, and you see a Native American in the photo, like in the background, but he's all covered in black shit or whatever. He's just in the background. He's just like a dark spot chilling. And she's like, oh my God, we have to see this photo. And that's when the ghost just starts to get pissed the fuck off, because this little kid creates the same symbols with them stones he saw in the cave. And mind you, I can't tell if this kid, I'm not going to knock this kid, young Bruce Wayne here, at all. If it's possibly his acting or not, because he wasn't giving shit to do. He literally has no dialogue. I love it because they try to make it like his autism is really strong and stuff like that, and he really don't speak that much. But at the end of the fucking film, he started speaking coherent sentences like a motherfucker. So there was no consistency with that. I can't really knock the kid though, because he didn't talk. I mean, I don't even know why he was in here personally. I mean, he's got to be like a big time right now because of Gotham. I know everybody loves that show and stuff. So this was a waste of his goddamn time. I hope that check was nice for you, brother, or at least the exposure. But I highly doubt that because I don't think anybody's going to watch this shit. But, you know, that's when the demons come in, or whatever, the Native Americans, whatever the hell you want to call them. And they start fucking turning water hose, water faucets on and stuff like that. They want to play peekaboo with the sister again and shit like that, where she wakes up because everybody always wearing headphones in this film. She goes to the headphone scene and she takes one headphone. She see a handprint on the wall, and then next thing you know it, she turns back and there's multiple handprints on the wall and shit. And then the door creaks open and she's just like, and then the ghost is just like, hey, I want to play some peekaboo with you. Patty cake, whatever. And slaps the shit out of her with a handprint on her face and on her chest. I don't know if he's trying to grab a titty or something like that. And she comes out screaming, look at me. There's something in the house. And then next you know, this kid locked himself in the bathroom. Kevin Bacon breaks it down. There's like some Indian symbols on the wall and shit looking like the Flintstones. And it was covered in blood. You don't know whose blood it is. He's just like, where the fuck did that come from? And I think I know where it came from because it comes back later once the Mexicans get introduced. And they get the hell up out that house. I forgot what happened in the mother in this scene. Possibly because I just didn't give a fuck. Now, she was the one that was still looking at the photo. And I love it because they don't show you that this house is really that big. The rooms are right next to each other. And they make it seem as if this is like some gigantic ass mansion or something like that. Like, they're literally in rooms right next to each other and can't hear each other yelling and shit. That shit blew my damn mind on how bad they tried to make this look like a bottle film in this house. They get the fuck up out of here. They get a hotel. And I love it too because nobody is freaked out by any of this. They just, I just like, you literally had doors opening and closing, wanting to play patty cake with your daughter back here, or whatever. And the only thing they're talking about is, what happened to us? Our marriage used to be perfect and stuff. You know, we used to be good parents and all that. We were all, what's going on? And I was just like, what? What's going on now? Hurry up and wrap this shit up. Wrap it up, B. Wrap this shit up, B. So, I love it because Kevin Bacon goes to his job. He's just like, look, he tells his boss, look, I just need some days off. Things with the kids, they're not going right now. And I love it because his boss looks at him, hey, and this scene pissed me off wholeheartedly, too. You know, some of the things back at the dinner table that Wendy was saying, she was right. You know, our son was on the verge of dying, and this lady, she cured him. She helped him. She brought him back into our life, or whatever. And I was just like, ah, man, fuck this movie, dude. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. So you made a pointless-ass scene to dismiss the women in that dinner scene, or whatever, only to come back later just for the two men to have a discussion about. I was like, what the fuck, dude? And then it just to say everything that Ming said in that fucking dinner scene, where he just repeated everything she just fucking said. And I was just like, what? And now Kevin Bacon's all like, I believe it now. I'm getting sick of that goddamn cliche too, by the way, where shit is happening and your wife starts acting weird and the husband's just laughing off like, oh, honey, don't be silly. And even though they notice some weird shit is going on, like the neighbor's fucking dog snuck into the house at one point and took a bite out of the daughter's arm and shit like that because this dick ghost was freaking out and shit. And like, I love it because her arm, they try to steer away from the blood so much or whatever. And I love it because the neighbor hates Kevin Bacon. I don't know why. He just doesn't like him. And then the very next scene, I love it because Kevin Bacon's like, your dog attacked us. And the neighbor just looking at him like, and? And then I love it because when they come back to the house the next day, Kevin Bacon's like, hey, I'm sorry, man, about what happened, whatever. And the neighbor just looks at him like, fuck you. Yeah, I was like, what? Dude, your dog just fucking attacked someone or whatever. So, yeah, that motherfucker needs to be taken away. Sorry. Possession or not, I don't really give a fuck. And first of all, it wasn't even possessed because he attacked the girl. So he didn't even attack the possessed motherfucker, which is the boy. So that dog is retarded. But either way, so they get back to the house, which, get back on that scene. I hated that fucking scene so much, though, because it was just like, wow, what a sexist way to just say fuck the women in here. And let's because we're men, we're going to do it. And I'm sick of that cliche of the husbands not really believing shit. That shit's getting old in horror movies. It's just like, obviously, if your wife's saying she saw some shit, then yeah, you think she's making it up? Come on. Do you really think she's making it up? She's going through all this trouble to show you shit, whatever, and you really think she's making it up? Okay, whatever. The plot with the Kevin Bacon and the hot chick, his hot coworker, she comes in saying, hey, man, we can go get some drinks or something like that. And he's just like, no, we need to be in the meeting or something like that. And he goes, I nailed that one. Dodged it with a bullet. Woo! Oh, that, so that just goes off. That's gone now. And you get back to the house. Bronnie, she goes back to see Ming, and she gets the number of these this chick that can help. Old Mexican lady, she got a little translator. I couldn't tell this little girl, which, by the way, the Mexican chick was Alma Martinez, who plays Teresa Morales in the film. And I don't know who her her partner was, because I don't remember her name, actually. I don't even remember if they said that. I'm sure they said the name, but, oh, wait a minute. Well, yep, I know who it is. Okay. Okay, this girl is Cuban. What the fuck? Okay. That is a Rosario, who's her sidekick. She plays Gloria in the film. And she, I love it because she's got, like, feather earrings and shit like that. And I was just looking at her. It's just like, I'm putting this in quotes. Is she quasi-Native American or whatever? Because they're swinging a feather around right now. Spirits be gone and shit like that. She's Cuban. And the other chick is Mexican. And they're talking about, oh, you got some strong demons in this house. So I almost used an accent. It was, that's racist as fuck, P1. But she's going around the house, and they got the demon, and the demons are pissed now. They like, you brought this Mexican motherfucker up in here. You think these Santa Maria candles are gonna stop us? We're gonna turn every faucet on the house on now, whatever. Every faucet goes on, every one of them. Doors are gonna close now harder. We're gonna make sure we slam motherfucker with the glass breaks on that bitch. Yeah, we're gonna open windows. How you feel about that now? Your blinds are gonna be moving back and forth. The dog is gonna be barking more. Yeah, how you like that now? And shit starts to happen. It's funny as fuck because this movie is so cheap. They can only cast shadows of the ghost on the wall. I was like, damn. This shit just got laughable now. I was just like, all right, Blumhouse, man. I know you make movies for like $1 million. What was that one me and Cody couldn't stand we saw last year? Where they go into the school, whatever the fuck that movie was called. I think that was only cost $100,000 or some shit like that. But so I'm sure this only cost maybe $1 million or $2 million, and that's just because you had to pay Kevin Bacon and what's that girl's name now? Damn, I'm blanking on it now. Rhoda Mitchell, yeah. So there's some glass on the ground or something, and the ghosts say, you keep chatting that shit, because they go through every room and they casting the spirits away. They go through every room, and the ghost said, bitch, I told you to stop saying that, and just throw the glass on. They chug the glass at her, and she's like, I got glass cuts on me now. And then they're going through every room again and stuff like that. And they like, I love it because Gloria's just like, you guys stay here. We're going to go handle this. And this shit was just ridiculous as fuck. In the bedroom, there's like a, it's like a damn cloud dust going right now, because that's all this movie could afford, was like dark cloud dust. And she's like, I love it because she's like, it's got fake ass thunder too. I love it because she got the Mexican chick, she got thunderstruck right now. It's like, what the? That shit looked cheap as fuck. That thunderstruck, you can make that effect with your fucking laptop computer. It's like, damn, come on, Blumhouse. You really don't give a fuck no more. And she gets up, she's like, I'm okay. But she starts chanting some stuff, or whatever, and she's like, oh my God, I see a river. I see Native Americans. The river, it's covered in blood. And I was like, ah, so that's where that blood in the bathroom came when the boy was like, ah, okay, that's weird as fuck, okay. And she's like, oh no. But then she casts a spell, the thing goes away, but then next thing you know it, they notice that Michael is missing. Ken Baker's lady's like, where'd you go? Michael! That motherfucker's literally in the next goddamn room. And he's beating on the door. The door is locked or whatever, because Michael went into the damn the portal he made, whatever, when he set the house part on fire or whatever and shit. He made like a certain area where the portal of the darkness comes through and shit like that. Darknesses, whatever and shit. And I love it. He's beating on the door, and nobody fucking followed Kevin, man. Nobody knew what he was doing, nothing like this, because I love it, because he goes in the room. When he gets in, the door closes, and I love it. It's not until he goes into the portal, and he tries to put the stones back in place. And people are like, how did Kevin Bacon know this? He Google searched it, everyone. He Google searched it, and they had images of it. Fucking retarded. Anyway, the demons are like, no, fuck that. They using some force powers or something like that. They're like, oh, no, you got back. And Kevin Bacon's like, no, you take me instead. Which, if you demons, why the hell would they offer up a bargain? They was like, all right, fuck it. Yeah, get out of here, little boy. We ain't no pedophile. Get your, come on, Kevin. Bring your ass over here. And he just walks over voluntarily to him. I was like, what? What is going on here? And then I love it because the kid is like, no, Dad, I'm not afraid. I was like, where the fuck did that line come from? You didn't show any bit of fear throughout this whole goddamn film. What? He starts putting the stones back where they come from, and one by one, they start disappearing. And as he puts the stone with that faces the animal and stuff, they give a close shot of these Native American things, and they are some of the most stereotypical Native Americans you could fucking see. The designs on them and everything, you get a close shot of their face, because at the first, I thought their heads were made out of the animals and stuff like that. No, they're just wearing the animal skin of like a helmet over the head, because you can see the face and shit like that when they get close. And they had face paint on. One motherfucker had a dream catcher around his neck. One had a tattoo dream catcher. They had feathers and shit like that. I was like, God damn, please just hurry up and wrap this movie. And I love it because they're screaming. And somehow they can't kill Kevin Bacon at this moment, even though this kid's going one by one at a time and really slow and shit. And because they're about to kill him, but this kid is just doing it so fast. And they're screaming. And then finally, I love it, they shoot the camera back at the wife and the daughter and the Mexican ladies. And they're looking in the hallway like, they're like, and they start yelling Kevin Bacon's name. They're like, Peter! Michael, Peter! I was like, what? Literally right next door! And I'm like, are they in here? Peter! Michael! I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Come on now! And then next you know, he puts all the stones on the goddamn place. They jump out of the portal just in time. And the kid starts talking fluently now. And they start going, I love you. The family walks in. They hug each other. Kevin Bacon says, it's over. It's over now. And then next, you know, the Mexicans there and the Cuban girl, that fine-ass Cuban girl, they're just hugging it like, aw. Next morning appears. I don't remember what. Oh, yeah, I remember what happened. That this ridiculous-ass goddamn scene. Next morning appears. They're at a picnic. And the daughter and the mother, they sitting on a blanket and shit while the son and the father are playing soccer. And the movie just cuts off. And I was like, what the fuck? What in the blue fuck did I just watch right now? And then I was just sitting there just, like, I seriously, I don't know what came to me when I was watching this. And I just sat there and said, why do I feel like something's about to pop up right now? And sure enough, these motherfuckers had the audacity to have a mid-credit after scene or whatever shit. A mid-credit scene. This shit blew my mind because all it showed was the stones back in place where the boy put them, and then the camera just shut off. I was like, what in the fuck was the point of that? Please, what is the point of anything in this goddamn movie? This shit, it's a low fucking, fuck this movie, man, so goddamn much. It's, I mean, it's terrible nonetheless, and it just baffles the fuck out of me how this... Damn near, if you really want to get first-time major release director, I mean, he's done some other shit before, but I don't think they were really that big of a hit, to be honest. It's such a mainstream film, which is over 2,000 theater release, whatever. Get these big of actors. I don't know if it was Jason Blum himself or whatever. And then to sit up here and have the audacity to have a mid-credit scene as if this shit was trying to set up a sequel or saying that, oh, but wait. There's more. It's like, nigga, fuck you. Please, eat a goddamn zombie dick if you can. Because Jesus Christ, man, this movie was just getting awful. And an hour and a half, hour and 35 minutes. And yet this movie felt like Eternia of how they crowbarred so much fucking side plots and subplots and all kind of story elements that just made absolutely no goddamn sense at all. I say story elements, huh? Okay, it was just baffling the fuck out of me how horror is still a genre. I was like, this is some bullshit, really. And you know, they didn't give us a screener for this, so there's no reviews up for this at all. And I went to go see it out of my own goddamn money, which, by the way, I want my goddamn money back, people. I don't know who the fuck I got to contact in this, but Jason Blum, you need to reimburse me back my fucking money somehow. And I'm watching this, and I looked at Rotten Tomatoes, I was like, this shit got a 0% out of 5 reviews. So, haha, here's your 6th review right here. 6th review right now. Ain't nobody gonna go watch this shit. I'm looking at the IMDb credits right now. There was a scene where Kevin Bacon was at a goddamn cafe Google searching this shit. I love it. The waitress he had, they just put hot waitress or whatever. Man, fuck this movie. This sexist as fuck. Jason Blum, you need to find a way to fucking reimburse me somehow.
Michael's been acting strangely. I mean, what are we dealing with here? We have been. It's the home of very powerful spirits, dropped in another dimension. The god you might be familiar with cannot help you now. Sweetie, don't put your hands in this, honey. You're leaving my...
Four. Five.